Let's be clear. Jesus died for people. Not just religion. He died for people. Each and every person. Think about this. Jesus even died for the people you hate. I'm an ambassador to them so that they too might come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. I was driving the other day and I came up to a stop sign and there was two cars in front of me. There was the lady at the stop sign, there was a car between us, and there was me. And she wasn't going, which takes me about 0.02 seconds to get irritated at. And she jumps out of her window, and she's hanging. I don't know how she physically did this, because I would have to go to the chiropractor. Somehow, she jumps. Steering wheel didn't bother her at all. She jumps out of her window. She's hanging out of her car, and she had to be, like, really old, like in her 40s. And she's she's hanging out of her window, and she's looking backwards, and she points to the car behind her, which is in front of me, and she's like, "You! You!" And she's screaming. I can see the veins bulging from her neck. "You need to slow down!" And the guy in the car in front of me is like, "What's wrong with you, lady?" I thought she was going to have a heart attack right then. I'm pretty sure that they're not going to be best friends. If they were, they are not now. Who here has ever had a bad attitude? Hold your hand up high. Let's all own it. Some of you had a bad attitude this morning. Okay, we're gonna deal with that. We're gonna deal with that. They say that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. Because of our attitude. And when we think about relationships and how oftentimes they can be complicated, we complicate our relationships oftentimes because our attitude isn't right. We're looking at attitudes from a worldly perspective, with a worldly mindset, instead of through a God mindset, a godly vision, a godly perspective, and we complicate it because we're looking at them through the wrong lens. How many have ever looked at relationships through the wrong lens? Wrong way. Well, we're going to fix that today. I'm going to fix you. Finally. A lot of fixing happening today. And we're staying here until it's fixed. In the Bible, there's this book called Philippians, and it was written by a guy named Paul to the church in Philippi, and he was writing them about all kinds of different things, and he says something really powerful in the very first chapter that I think precedes some stuff that he talks about in the later chapters about relationships and the right attitude we should have. He said this in Philippians chapter 1. He said, whatever happens, he says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. If that was the only verse I read to you this morning, and that was the only verse we taught on today, how life-changing would that be? If I began to talk and think and act according to that verse, saying, and whatever happens in my life, conduct myself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Wow, that's heavy. How life-changing is that? How convicting is that? How uncomfortable is that? Can we say that? Let me ask you this question. In your relationships, are you acting in a way that is worthy of the gospel of Christ? Because oftentimes we complicate our relationships because we act in a way that is unworthy of the gospel of Christ. It doesn't bring the gospel of Christ a good reputation. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. See, if you are a Christian today, and what I mean by that is that you believe in Jesus Christ. A Christian is not just a person who comes to church, or even a person who reads the Bible, or the person who does what is right. A Christian is first and foremost a person who has put their faith in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for their sins, he paid the penalty for sins, and he rose from the grave so that you might have new life. That's a Christian. Now I'm a Christian, a Christ follower, and I follow him in my life. If you are a Christian today, like it or not, God calls us to a higher standard in how we treat people. We don't treat people the way the world does. We don't act in relationships the way the world does. We have a higher standard. Everyone say higher. Higher. Have a higher standard, a higher calling, one that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow, that's life-changing. So as you think about that, I want to talk to you this morning about handling relationships God's way. Not my way, but God's way. As we have all, everyone, your entire life will be dealing with relationships. So now how do we handle them God's way? How do we handle relationships God's way? What does God's word have to say? How do I do it in real time every day of my life as much as possible? And maybe you've been doing it the wrong way. We've all done it the wrong way once or twice, or maybe 5, 10, 20, 100,000 times. We've done it the wrong way, but what does God say, and what can I learn so that I might be able to handle them God's way in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, to learn this, we're going to turn back to Philippians in chapter 2, and Paul says this, and he asks some questions before he starts talking about relationships. He says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Answer? Yes. Okay, now that should be a way more resounding yes. Think about the question, everybody. I told you there's going to be a lot of fixing today. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ?
Yes.
100% yes. It's radically life-changing to belong to Christ. It's eternity-changing to belong to Christ. Any fellowship together in the Spirit?
Yes,
yes, because the Spirit unites us. Any, any comfort from his love? I skipped one. Any comfort from his love?
Yes.
Are your hearts tender and compassionate?
Yes.
Yeah, see, first service struggled with that one too. First service, like, well, I don't really like people. Jesus loves them, but I don't. It should be, my heart's tender towards the things and the ways and the word of God. My, because of that, my heart is compassionate toward other people. It should be resounding yes and amen from all of us. He says, now, if you answered yes to all these things, he says, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. Loving one another. Working together with one mind and one purpose. He starts to deal with relationships and how to uncomplicate the complicated. And he says, hey, listen, you have all these great aspects of belonging to Christ and all these things that should unite us together. And so he tells us really the key step, the first step we should have in developing key relationships and quality relationships and godly relationships in our lives, and that is this. You need to protect the unity. You need to protect the unity. How many of you here have ever had a relationship that just broke apart? Disunity wormed its way in, and it just broke apart. Maybe that was a marriage, maybe that was a friendship, maybe that was with a sibling, whatever. It just broke apart. We need to protect the unity. The other day, I was serving Jesus with my wife at Disneyland. We went there as missionaries, and we were just ministering. And one of the places we went to minister was this ride called Rise of the Resistance. It's a Star Wars ride. And we went there, and we were waiting in line, and it's one of those rides where they just group everybody together. It's not necessarily a single ride. You go on the ride in a group. And along came this group of people that just were so obnoxious. It ruined the unity. All of us were united to have fun in this ride, and these people came to kill our fun. And what made it worse is that a couple of people in the group were riding those motor scooters. No shade on people who ride motor scooters, but it was one of those things like God spoke to me like, he doesn't need to be on a motor scooter. I just knew he can walk. I don't know what his problem is, but they came up there like a biker gang, like, like, what do you guys want? They were ruining our unity. And it wasn't just me, there was witnesses. So we finally got it. We finally got into our ride, and they got into another ride, and I was like, thank you, Jesus. And the lady who I did not know across from me turns to her husband. She goes, I'm so glad those people weren't in our ride, because I was going to tell them, I don't want to ride with those people. I'm like, yeah, those bikers are the worst. They just disrupted the unity. We have to be careful because that's how the enemy works. He comes in and he worms his way into relationships, into marriages, into homes, into churches, and he destroys the unity. One of our core values as a church is that unity protects the mission. You know that we can't be on a mission if we're not united. It can't accomplish it if we're not together. We're not in this thing together. Come hell or high water, we're in it together. And so we have to protect the unity. See, when unity breaks down, relationships break down. And then we don't treat people the right way. And we don't treat people the way it should. We should, as God calls us to treat them. Protect the unity. Protect the unity. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It talks about it. It says, I appeal to you. I beg you. I plead with you. I'm calling you. Please do this. He says, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many know there's no higher authority? By the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, live in harmony with each other. He says, let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. No division. If we can't unite, no one can. Because we have the greatest uniting force in the universe, Jesus Christ. Protect the unity. Don't let division come in your relationships because disunity creeps in and begins to divide. Now, I get it. Sometimes it's not possible to have unity with some people because they come up in their motor scooters and they just ruin it all. And I get it. Sometimes the way people act and peace is not possible, resolution is not possible, I get it, because of the way they're acting or maybe because of the way we're acting. The Bible talks about it and says this in Romans 12. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, everybody say on me, on you, live at peace with everyone. Be at unity with everyone. As much as it is possible for you, do what you can to protect the unity and do that because it'll help to uncomplicate the complicated in relationships. So if we're going to do that, what we need to do is value people the way God does. Value people the way God does. Oftentimes we look at other people and we devalue them. We do this by making a quick judgment about them. We do this because we feel like we're superior. We're better than. They're not like us, so we devalue them in our heart and our mind. We make quick judgments, and we don't value them the way that God does. I wonder what would happen if God started valuing us the way that we value other people. Boy, we'd be in a lot of trouble. The Bible says this in Philippians. He goes on and he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I'm looking to the interests, I'm valuing other people, and I'm valuing them above myself. That's totally different, I think, than sometimes the way we treat our relationships. I'm valuing them above. You matter more than me. That's the mindset. That's the heart behind it. Another one of our core values here at Fusion Christian Church is this. People matter to God, so they matter to us. Shockaroony. Who would have thought that? I mean, think about it. If people matter to God, how much more should they matter to us? If our Creator and our Savior cares about people, then we should too. They should matter deeply to us. And we need to have the God kind of attitude that helps us to do that. The Bible says in Philippians, it says, in your relationships, he goes on, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What kind of mindset is that? How could I possibly have that kind of mindset? Well, think about it this way. What he's saying is that we need to have the same attitude as Jesus. the same attitude. Who here's ever had a bad attitude? All of us. But now I want you to have the same, in your relationships, I want you to have the same mindset, the same attitude as Jesus Christ. Well, what does that look like? How does that apply and pertain to my life? Well, he goes on and Paul tells us what it looks like to have the same attitude and mindset of Jesus Christ in verses 6 and 8. He says this, who, Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Simply put, Jesus was God. That's what it means. Basically, God didn't use it to his own advantage. He didn't say, hey, look, I'm God. He didn't force his will upon us. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Everyone say humbled. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. That's the attitude of Jesus. That's the mindset of Christ, that he laid it down for us so that we might have a relationship with him. This is the attitude God wants us to have in our relationships. Now, I've preached for the last 10 minutes so I can get to this one point. Not that the other part didn't matter, but this one point, I'm about to tell you that if you pay attention to what I say in the next couple minutes, it is going to radically change the way you deal with relationships. It's going to radically change the way you deal with your spouse and your friends and your coworkers and the people you just happen to come across in life. It's going to change the way you deal with people who disrupt your unity. Because when you have the same attitude as Christ, when you have the same mindset of Christ, and you start valuing people the way that God values them, and you strive to protect the unity, it means that you and I need to start seeing our relationships as a ministry. As a ministry. It's not just something we have. It's a ministry. This is the attitude that Jesus had. Look what Jesus did so that you and I might have a relationship with him. He came down from heaven and laid his life down so that you and I might have an eternal relationship with him. He uncomplicated the complicated. That's the big difference, one of the big differences between Jesus and Satan, by the way. Satan was not content being the creation. He wanted to be the creator. Jesus was the creator and came down to become part of his creation and laid his life down so that his creation, you, might have an eternal relationship with him. That's called sacrifice. That's called laying it down. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, it says, but he, Jesus, appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by sacrificing what? Himself. He laid it down. Do you know what ministry is? Oftentimes when we say ministry, you think of the pastor's job, or that's the elder's job, or that's somebody else. We think of ministry. All of us are ministers. The Bible says that each and every one of us are the saints of God. Each and every one of us are the priests of God, and the priest of God is actually supposed to minister on behalf of God, their Savior. And so all of us are ministers, right? It's not just one office. All of us are ministers to the Lord. And you know what ministry is? I'm going to sum it up for you in one word. You ready? Sacrifice. That's what ministry is. That's what you and I are called to do, to sacrifice for other people, just like Jesus sacrificed for us. In serving others, we're to have the same mindset like Christ and to lay our lives down for other people. It is the second greatest commandment. He said, love God and what? Love other people. And that's more than just words. In fact, it's part of our mission statement. Love God, love others, tell everyone. That's part of what it means to be a Christian. That's like the mainstream. That's the lifeblood of what it means to be a Christian, is that I love God and I love other people. Oh, that we would have the mind of Christ when it comes to our relationships. There was once a Brazilian missionary who was going through the market, and he came across a table, and at the table there was a sign that said, cheap crosses. And he thought to himself as he saw the sign, cheap crosses. He goes, that's what many Christians are looking for, cheap crosses. And he said, my Savior's cross was not cheap, so why would my cross be cheap? Because it must cost us a sacrifice. It costs us. The cross wasn't cheap. It cost Jesus everything. Let's be clear. Jesus died for people. Not just religion. He died for people. Each and every person. Think about this. Jesus even died for the people you hate. And the people who hate you. He died for them. And so we must begin to think about them and love them and care for them in the aspect that I'm ministering to them in some way, some capacity. I'm a minister on behalf of Jesus Christ. I'm an ambassador to them so that they too might come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, the truth is the cross was too costly for us to treat people cheaply. And we often treat people cheaply. But the cross is so much more than that. That we would value people and we would care for them. Ministry that costs us nothing accomplishes nothing. It must cost us. Jesus poured out his blood on the cross to win us for God. He laid down his life. That's the true example of relationship. The true example. See, if the cross shows us how much people matter to God, our relationship should reflect that value. And I get it, it's not always easy, but we should strive. I'm ministering in this relationship. I'm ministering in the relationship of my marriage. I'm ministering in the relationship with my kids. I'm ministering in the relationship of the people I come in contact with, my family and my friends and the strangers and the people who I don't know. I'm ministering to them. Why? I have a Savior who ministered to me, and therefore I, as a minister for him, am ministering to you. And I lay my life down for you because Christ laid his life down for me. What sacrifice are you making in your relationships to win them to Christ? We're coming up to Good Friday and Easter, and people are going to be so receptive to the good news of Jesus Christ. For some, this is the only time that they've actually come to church or will ever come to church. And we have this opportunity to say, okay, I'm ministering to you because I want you to come to know what Jesus is all about and how to have a true relationship with him. That's called ministry. And caring enough for people that you actually invite them into a relationship with Jesus Christ, because they can't get there by what they do. Works don't cut it. Only Jesus does. Only Jesus does. That's your ministry. See, you may not stand on a stage, but you stand in relationships. That's your ministry. Every single one of us have relationships in our life. That's our ministry. And the question is, what if the greatest ministry you have in life is sitting across the table from you? It's not some far distant place. It's not up here on a stage. It's not for somebody else to do. But right now, at this moment, it is sitting right across the table for you. And that's my ministry right now, is you. And I care deeply for you because I value you the way that God values people. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would give us that heart to value other people. Jesus bled for us. He died on the cross for us. That's great sacrifice. You see, if there's to be blessing, there must be sacrifice. A ministry that costs us nothing accomplishes nothing. One minister said, if there's no bleeding, there's no blessing. In other words, Jesus bled. Because he bled, now we have the blessing. In other words, if there's not great sacrifice, right, if we're not laying down our own selfish ambition and our own selfish pride to say, look, I'm going to serve you the way Christ served me, and as much as is possible for me, I'm going to bless you in Jesus' name and serve you and love you and care for you in Jesus' name. Why? Because you matter to God, and therefore you matter to me. That's the way to build solid relationships. Jesus was the ultimate servant. And that's why it says in Mark chapter 10, it says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? Serve, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to serve. And what a great example he is to us that we might learn to serve him and serve others in the process. Many people are willing to serve if it costs them nothing. I'll do it as long as it's not inconvenient for me and it doesn't interrupt my schedule. Because I've got a lot of Instagram to catch up on. And I've got a lot of sports to watch. And I've got a lot of things to do that are really, really important. We'll serve if it costs us nothing. But the minute it starts costing us a sacrifice, wait a minute. We see it all the time in church. When it comes to serving, well, I can't serve. It's just too inconvenient for me. Like, I'm busy all the other times of the week, and Sunday's my time to come to church and take a little quick nap and then go home. done my Jesus stuff, and that's about it. I'm good. But man, you put me on the schedule, that's really inconvenient. That's too much sacrifice for me. I can't do it. If you're not sacrificing and you're not serving, you are missing out on the blessing. You're missing out on the blessing. You're just watching it happen. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you in church, and don't let that be you in your relationships, because the truth is the mission isn't somewhere else. It is in your relationship. This is the mission God's called us to. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 28, it says, therefore, go and make disciples, that's followers, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is our call. This is our command. This is our great commission. We're to go and make more disciples. Who are you loving into the kingdom? Who are you serving into the kingdom of God? Not just a temporary thing, but an eternal relationship with their Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, your relationships aren't distractions from your purpose. They are your purpose. This is the purpose. We're not here just to have church. Anybody can do that. They don't, but they could. We're here on a mission. And the mission is people. That's the mission. Reaching people for Jesus Christ. And so let me ask you this. Do you have a willingness to sacrifice for the eternity of others? This is how to uncomplicate the complicated aspects of our relationship. A pastor asked a guy at church one day, he said, hey, where do you think your mission field is? He goes, well, I think one day maybe God's going to call me overseas. And he goes, okay, great. Well, let me ask you a question. He said, what? He goes, how are you treating people at home? How are you treating your wife and your kids? He goes, well, not very well right now. He goes, well, I guess your mission isn't overseas yet. Right now it's at home. Maybe one day. Doesn't mean we have to get our life perfect. Why don't we just strive, right? If you're faithful in little, God will make you faithful over much. Say, right now, this person right in front of me, you matter to me. I care about you. Sometimes we think that ministry has to do with some person on a stage or some trip, but really simply put, it's people. This is the ministry God has for his people, his church. That's you. That's me. And what are we going to do? To plunder hell so that we can populate heaven. The only way to do that is to protect the unity. Care and value people like God did. Sacrifice, bleed for them, care for them. Because that's what Jesus did for us. He didn't just preach to crowds, he invested in people, he cared for people, he nurtured people, he spent time with them. And he taught them the way of peace, which was through him. God often places our greatest ministry in the relationships that are right in front of us. Who are you going to minister to? Who is God going to use you to change? And then one day, somebody's going to turn to you and say, I'm so thankful that God brought you into my life. Because it has radically changed not only my life now, but my eternity. Every single person sitting here right now is here because somebody cared enough about you to bleed for you, to care for you, to tell you about Jesus. So now we do the same.